Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 22nd, 2023. I have your host, James J. here, and I am joined by our great friend. We appreciate so very much. Sue Sipple is with us from the Family Center. Good afternoon, Sue.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Doing well.
You haven't been with us since we've been recording these and everything, so very understandable. I'm just proud I haven't done the whole good morning thing yet. Just give it a minute. We got 20-some minutes, Sue. I'll do it at some point. Journalistically, I want to mention that I am not only on the board at the Family Center, but Deb and Sue were some of the first people I interviewed in this job to help me get... If you think I'm any good at this job, a big part of it starts with those two. I want to say right away a big thank you to you for that, and obviously for bringing me into the family at the Family Center. It means the world to me. It's some of the greatest work I'll ever do in my life, and I don't feel like I do much, but what little bit of a piece of things I am over there is so humbling, and I'm so appreciative of. Doesn't happen without you, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I think many times, you know, I've acknowledged the asset you and the station have been, you know, in getting the word out, you and your deep understanding and, you know, provocative questions, perhaps, discussions we've had that we've really gone, you know, into the weeds on some things to help the community understand, right? That's the purpose, is really engaging the community. So
For those that don't know, Sue is retiring as executive director with the Family Center after how long, Sue?
Well, I was at the Family Center about 7 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was in Manitowoc, and prior to that in Stevens Point at CAP Services Family Crisis Center. Mm-hmm. So a total of 27 years working in the domestic violence sexual assault field. Mm-hmm. Pretty my whole life, really, working for nonprofits, but in the last 27 years, domestic violence and sexual assault.
There are people, and I know this from talking to sex crime detectives, from people in the other aspects of the industry. There are people that go into this world after like 4 or 5 years of college or those kind of things, and can't make it more than 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. How have you managed to stay in this industry that long and keep your heart intact?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, surrounding myself with good people, right? Mm-hmm. Relying, I think, on the support of my peers, the other directors around the state, and learning from some of the folks that were like me when I started, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Some of those folks that had been around a while and helped, you know, kind of set a, what I want to say, kind of an internal system that stays calm in crisis, that, you know, is very empathetic with clients, and sees the good work that happens over time, you know. And I think it isn't the easiest field to be in, especially on the front line, and I've done that. I haven't done that a lot recently. I pitch in, but that front line is really tough. So
When it comes to, you mentioned changes, when it comes to changes at the Family Center from when you started to where we are now, what are some of the bigger highlights there for you?
Some of the things that stand out.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things was just prior to COVID, a couple years prior to COVID, we started kind of a philosophy of mobile advocacy. Mm. So not so much expecting people to come to meet with us at the Family Center, but being places, having office hours at the courthouse, having office hours at MSTC, office hours at the library, kind of being out there where people are, has been a change that I think has benefited the community. One of the little things, I don't know, I was thinking about this morning. When I came, we started recognizing Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. There really hadn't been much of an event during that month. And so when I came that first October, we planned something and we inaugurated the first Domestic Violence a Month Awareness Awards, recognizing community members, board members, businesses that have really made a difference in the prior year. I know the radio station got it one year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think, you know, that kind of shift to trying to engage the community, mobile advocacy, and then recognizing, you know, those important people, in the community has been something. We started during my time, again, a couple years before COVID, the Touch a Truck fundraiser that we just wrapped up. So fun time. Again, didn't raise tons of money, but really was a good event for the community and raised awareness. And so that was a good event. We've added positions since I came. One of them pretty early on was adding a legal systems advocate. Prior to that, if you wanted a restraining order or you were involved with the criminal justice system or the civil system, divorce, custody, any one of our advocates could help you. And frankly, some were better at it than others, right? And I think from, again, the community perspective, the courts were like, who are you and where are you from again? And so we created a position that would be the primary person to interact with the court system and the criminal justice and civil justice system. That gave us a presence that, you know, build some credibility, and clients got better services. So adding that position comes to mind as a big one. We recently created a position just called Domestic Abuse Services Coordinator. So we have a lot of specialized positions, but didn't have somebody who kind of just provided the services to a non-shelter resident that was a domestic violence victim. So I think that helped. So, you know, in terms of physical highlights, we are, I think, flipping the switch this weekend on solar. So we anticipate that saving us about 30% on our energy usage going forward. Our roof wasn't big enough, or we probably would have been able to add on. We did a little bit of fundraising. There's still, if you'd like to buy a solar panel, just over $1,000, that would be great. So adding solar panels, we are about to, in 2024, which will be our 40th anniversary at the Family Center, establish an endowment. And so that is another piece along with solar that will help position the Family Center to be as frugal, saving as much as we can on the cost end, and yet having a little nest egg that will continue to provide some income as fundraising and, frankly, government grants have become quite competitive, and we're seeing shrinking funds in those government grant areas, and so we need to do some things to kind of shore up the foundation, if you will, so that we can continue to provide the services that we provide.
Thank you for that kind of walk down memory lane a little bit there. One of the things that stands out to me so much about everything you just mentioned there is bridges. Building bridges with the community, building bridges with the youth, with the Touch a Truck event, and bringing them more into the fold with the subject matter that sometimes we don't let kids to hear about until it's, you know, they're teenagers, or I don't want to say too late, but much later. The younger they hear about these things, the more aware and common it will be in their head if it comes up later, which, you know, we don't want to, of course, but they're more aware of. That's big. Building the bridges with just community members. You and I, well, I don't know if we're in the same generation. We come from the generations of hushed voices, you know, the hushed voices generation. It got a little bit, it was hopefully improving during yours, got a little bit better during mine, but there was a lot of time in between there. And here we are today in 2023, and really I would say since the early aughts there, or I would say since the early 20-aughts, you know, 20s, the roaring 20s, if you will, things have gotten a little bit more where we're having these conversations with raised voices now, where we're talking normally and having these discussions. But that's, from me, in an outsider perspective. Have you seen it that way, Sue, or do you think we still have a long way to go?
Well, I think it's true. Most domestic violence programs and the whole domestic violence movement, if you will, began in the 80s, in the early 80s. You know, at that point, I was 30. in my 30s. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I mean, we still hear from people older than me. Back in the day, there was no place like this for me to go, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, you know, shelters began cropping up in the early 80s, the mandatory arrest law. So domestic violence definitely took an awareness leap
mm-hmm.
back
yeah.
then, before it was definitely not talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's still a ways to go. Our prevention educator is another position we added since I came, when working with youth mm-hmm. to try to get on the front end, to try
yes.
to help younger people understand what a healthy relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still a lot of misconceptions,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There's still a fair amount of blaming the victim for what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much happens every day,
yeah.
right? I think we've talked many times about if we really want to end domestic violence, we need the whole community to be on board, from, you know, penalties for abusers
mm-hmm.
to, you know, programs to help abusers find a different way
yeah.
in relationships, to people calling their friends out,
yes.
sort of like we do
yes.
with drinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
How that's evolved over the years. Yeah. You know, I think we've got a long way to go before we're going to see an end to domestic violence.
Yeah.
We
have to keep our eyes on the prize here,
mm-hmm.
while also appreciating all the trailblazing and the work that has been done to get us to this point of
mm-hmm.
growth, where
mm-hmm.
we are a lot better than we were 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, we would like to be a heck of a lot farther along
mm-hmm.
the lines 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to wait that long either.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that, and I'm curious to know what you think, the progress has been slow over
mm-hmm.
the years, even going back to the 80s, where, you know, you kind of jumped into this and everything. Now I feel like we're seeing progress happening a little bit faster. It's not taking 5-10 years for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, from your perspective of the industry, are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, and I think what in the 80s it was a lot of I guess I'll risk being a little off color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were seen as bra burners. We were
right,
seen
right.
as angry,
yeah,
angry
yeah.
women.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Angry at everybody, the
mm-hmm.
abuser, the police, the, you know, everybody, right?
Yeah.
I think over time we realized that really didn't get us anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that what we needed to do was try to engage and work mm-hmm. with and bring along and increase understanding. That's been slow. You know, there
yeah.
are areas where we made progress, I think particularly in this community with law enforcement,
mm-hmm.
right? And I wasn't here in the 80s, so I don't know what it was like back then. But
yeah,
in general,
yeah.
you know, law enforcement is empathetic and
mm-hmm.
understanding and wanting to do the best for victims in this community.
I wanted to bring that up. I'm really glad that you touched on that, because I think that, well, we you know, you can't go house to house
mm-hmm.
and trying to make sure that every single citizen is on the same page as us, or checking if they are, trying to inform them
mm-hmm.
to be. But what's a one way to kind of do that? Well, you're covering a lot of bases without
mm-hmm.
being able to go house to house.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement.
Right. Because
if you can get law enforcement on mm-hmm. your side with this subject matter, that's gigantic. For too long, we didn't have that
right.
as a society.
Yeah.
It was, there's the law, and then you kind of played it by ear when you showed up. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
not the case anymore.
Right.
I'm not saying it's perfect,
right.
but it has improved by leaps and bounds when it comes to that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is a rural thing. It's a local thing.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, you know, people
mm-hmm.
like you and your position to be able to make those relationships and build those bonds.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about this before with you. I MC Men in the Kitchen some years back, and I have never been to a family center, you know, event other than Touch a Truck or something. And I wasn't really sure how this was going to go, what to expect. And the first thing I see when I walk in is not just men, but our mayor, Mayor
mm-hmm.
Blazer. I see
mm-hmm.
Sheriff Becker. I see, at the time, Andy Francis, head of the Rafters. I
mm-hmm.
I see not just men, but men in important positions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands out to me. And I don't think that happens without you. And not to say that, these individuals wouldn't, they don't care,
mm-hmm.
but you reaching out to them,
mm-hmm.
them realizing how important it is to be a part of these kind of events.
Mm-hmm.
our community is that much stronger and beneficial because of those relationships and those bridges being built.
Well, I've always felt, you know, it's better to work smarter than harder.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and you can have, like you say, you could work the line one-on-one with people, or you could find agents or emissaries or, you know, a person that you can bring on board with understanding. And then it, you know, it spreads out multifold. You know, our advocates mostly work at the ground level, right? Mm-hmm. One-on-one, helping the victim through the process. I always saw my role as working as a peer, a humble peer, with community leaders, right? And dealing with stuff kind of in the abstract, not so much about this client here, but trends, you know, or problems, community problems, things, protocols we could create that would make it better for a whole lot of people. So,
We're speaking with Sue Sipple from the Family Center. Sue, I have to ask the mandatory question when somebody is retiring and leaving and such. Actually, two mandatory questions, really. The first one, when you look back at your career, what do you feel is your legacy?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough
one. I hope nobody ever asked me that question.
I know. That's a tough one. Well, you know, I think I've involved myself not only in the community, in a number of different communities, since this is the third one I worked in and kind of left a little trail of crumbs of change, but involve myself at the state level. I'm a governor's appointment on the Governor's Council on Domestic Abuse. I'm co-chair of the council. I plan to continue that.
Okay.
And I plan to continue a couple of the state level things, because I
didn't
just
know
can't,
that. Good on you.
Can't let go. I keep saying, well, I could come to one more meeting. Keep sending me the agenda, some of the committees I'm on, even at the state level or at the local level. But, you know, some of the Governor's Council I've been on since 2013, so 10 years. I've been on their budget committee since 2007. And, you know, that has an impact at the state level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I am I'm the oldest, not in age, but in terms of I'm the longest serving member of the council. Mm. I'm up for reappointment. I just talked to it's an interesting process. When you're appointed to the Governor's Council, you have to go through Senate confirmation hearings, just like you on C-SPAN.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And get asked questions by a committee.
Interesting.
I had a meet and greet on Friday with the chair of the committee that I'll appear before. And it was an intense but really interesting conversation that we covered a lot of ground about. And he was a retired police chief and now a senator from Altoona, I believe he said. Mm. Anyway, you know, to have somebody listen to some of the years of experience and things that I know and have learned about domestic violence victims, what works, what doesn't. I hope that's what people remember.
Yeah, I think that I feel very confident that they will. I think that's a gigantic part of it.
Yeah.
I also think that the people is a big part of your legacy. It's the people's lives that you've touched. Mm. I started our program here with that and how much you've impacted my life. And we haven't even known each other that long. I can't imagine the clients that you've helped. There's no words for putting into, we have no idea, you know, lives that have been saved or lives that have been bettered, the countless numbers that has been over the 30 years you've been doing this. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part of it, I would think. And you kind of answered this question already a little bit earlier when we were talking about changes at the Family Center over the years and some of the things that have gone on, and even touching on the solar power thing.
Mm-hmm.
While we are wishing nothing but great things for a new executive director, Tricia, her position is going to be that much, I don't want to say easier, but smoother because of so many of the things that you have set into motion. And I certainly want to make sure that I'm not just saying that Sue did all this by herself. Mm-mm. You have an amazing team over there. Mm-hmm. But that also is part of your legacy, because these are people that you have oftentimes sought out or said, hey, you'd be a good board member. Yeah. And then there's a knucklehead like me and like, I don't know about that, Sue. And like, no, you would be. And then here I am a couple years later thanking you to God that you had helped mm-hmm. me do this and I engaged in this and everything. Mm-hmm. I genuinely think that a big part of your legacy is the people's lives that mm-hmm. you have touched, whether they are clients or people like myself.
Well, when you go down that path, when I came, there were three board members.
Mm, really? Wow.
Most had left.
Whoa.
There had been some turmoil in the times leading mm-hmm. up to when I came, and you know, they were down to three board members. The staff all had been hired within the last year and a half, and everything was new. Every crisis was never a crisis encountered before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that took a good deal of my time in the early mm-hmm. years, just you know, trying to provide some stability in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
When you mention a client, there's a person that I helped in Manitowoc. I had attended a national conference on technology safety, and I came back all excited about mm-hmm. all the doodads. And she was being stalked by her abuser, who was very tech savvy. I basically helped her get a new identity and remove any presence of her online.
Mm.
I ran into her daughter, who at the time was in grade school, the other day, who talked about what a difference I made in that life's family and the family, and her mom, and how she today can live free. Right?
God, that's beautiful. So really beautiful.
You often don't see that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And have that validation, but it was quite humbling running into her.
I'm so happy that you got that. I certainly, first and foremost, they have that. But that you like you say, you don't get the follow-up story very often. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to find out what happens next sometimes.
Rightly so. You know what I mean? People need to move on and live their life. We really don't want people to be dependent. You know, it was a celebration, right? But to be reminded of that, that one.
Yeah, it's something you hold deep in your heart, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of the next chapter, your last day is the 25th.
Yep,
I don't like it any more than you do, but what is next for you? What does the future hold? Please tell me you're going to relax and be lazy at some point and just read a book or something.
Well, initially, my son is coming from New York for a visit. And we're going to the Dells for a couple of days.
Right
and
on.
So this is the nonprofit Wisconsin version of going to Disneyland.
yes. Just so.
After the Super Bowl here, I'm going to the Dells.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, that's good.
So initially that, I've committed myself to a number of things at the state level, reading. I'm a grant reviewer for a grant. I'm part of the Domestic Abuse Council, some of their work. I'm one of the funders has asked me to go with them and help a program with the software that we use. So, you know, there's in the short term, there's a bunch of stuff to keep me busy.
Yeah.
I will not do well to just sit. So I got to find things to keep me busy and engaged and making a difference.
You are as bad as my mother at retirement. You are really, you're not, you're
I'm not
doing
gonna be
this
good at retirement.
But you've earned it. You have earned it. And I do hope that while it may not be that often, I do hope you have some days here where you're bored and you're being lazy and you're enjoying your just being around your family or whatever, because mm-hmm. you've earned this. We greatly appreciate you, Sue. I thought a good way to wrap up would be to touch on volunteers and how we could use volunteers over at the Family Center.
We could. I know Deb, who's our volunteer coordinator, just put something on our Facebook post about looking for a shopper. Oh my gosh, this is simple.
Mm-hmm.
Going once a week, whenever you usually go to the grocery store, picking up the things on our grocery list, not a ton, it's usually a couple bags of groceries, for the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
we'll give you a credit card to pay for it, so you know, we're not asking you to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the shopping for us. You know, that can save so much staff time.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a consistent shopper for a while. I don't know if she's backing down or Deb is just looking for some help for her. So, but, you know, basically what you want to spend some time volunteering, we'll find a spot for you. Everything from answering the phone to grocery shopping to maintenance to, you know, helping out at Touch a Truck. We really struggled finding volunteers for Touch a Truck. So you know, we're trying to build that list of mm-hmm. people with a specific thing they want to do, or just call me if you need something and I'll see if I got some minutes to come fold some letters or, mm-hmm. you know.
We deeply appreciate dollars and cents. They help keep the vital work going on mm-hmm. at the Family Center. But, you know, when you can spend an hour or two of your mm-hmm. time to do these things, we appreciate it just as much.
Yep.
And it's one less thing that you and the team over there have to mm-hmm. have on your plate. And you can be free to do the vital work that you guys are doing at the Family Center. People want to find out more about that, we encourage you to go to familyctr.org. That is all one word, familyctr.org. Otherwise, you can call 424-6183, 424-6183. Of course, the Family Center has their crisis line that is available 24/7. We've got your back, 421-1511, 421-1511. We got to do this again. This can't be the last time we talk. We'll have to talk again sometime. Thank you so much for everything
you
have brought to this community, brought to me and our station. We appreciate you.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll talk again soon, Sue. You're not getting rid of me. We'll talk again soon.
We'll see.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.